morning, good morning, good morning. This is the Impact Man, and you know what time it is. It is time to rise and grind. So go ahead, grab your cup of coffee, grab your device, and let's get into this word. Good morning, fellas. This is Pastor S. Jeffrey Muntz, and welcome to Morning Meditation for Men. Thank you for taking a little bit of your time this morning to hang out with me as we explore the Word of God. All right, y'all. So I missed you on Tuesday, and full disclosure, I was in a tough, tough place on Tuesday. I'm not going to say I was just in a place of depression, but more of a place of frustration. And I was trying to decide and how I would talk to you guys about this, but I'm just going to be frank and honest with you because it's just who I am. We were putting up a gazebo in our backyard, and all seemed to be going well. We got the frame up. I don't think I've sweat more in the past 5 days than I have since I played football back in high school. I mean, it was hot outside, so every time you walked out the door, it was already warm. But then adding the physical activity to it, I mean, just sweating profusely nonstop. Okay, so we got the frame up, and then we got to the roof. And, of course, a lot of times when you purchase these things online, you don't see the directions are not clear. And so, you know, we did what we thought we were supposed to do, and every time we would put one piece of the panel of the roof up, it would fall, or the next piece would fall out. And I would get frustrated, and I was doing a whole lot of cussing and carrying on. You know, I wonder if I'm the only person that saved that cuss like that. But anyways, I was mad. It wasn't working out. It seemed like everything that I was doing, none of it was working out. And so I was really, really frustrated and angry. And I knew that I could not come on here on Tuesday because I was right in the throes of it. And in the midst of all that cussing and fussing and being angry and looking at it, and I decided I'd pray about it. And I said, okay, God, well, you give me the wisdom and the strength and the ingenuity to get this thing together. And so I just left it alone. Then after being frustrated, my wife, she continued to look for a solution, and she found a solution online, and it worked. And so we've got the gazebo up. It looks very nice. It's a nice gazebo. There's still some areas where water is coming through the top, but those are things that we can fix ourselves manually with a little bit of epoxy, some clear epoxy or what have you. But I'm grateful to God that for a wife that was able to help me when, you know, I couldn't figure it out. And this is what we call that help meet. This is why our wives are called a help meet, because sometimes when we can't figure something out, they step in and they meet us at the point of our need. And she was right there. She met me at the point of my need, where I needed her the most. And it was good to be able to make those things happen. But I want to talk about this today. And I know I'm already a little bit into my time. I know I'm not going to talk very long today, but I really want to read this scripture because it's been on my heart. One of the things that I want this podcast, for as long as I do it, to be is a place of truth. I don't want to come on here and be a person of pretense to make you think that being part of the family of God is in its earthly form a place of pure protection, or not, you are purely protected. Let me erase that. That's me with my eraser. I don't want you to feel like it's a place of pure perfectness in the eyes of what we see and feel emotionally in the earth realm. What I want you to know and understand is that in the earth realm, you're going to have to go through things that we will not experience when we are in heaven. We will go through things that people who do not know Jesus will go through, who do not have a relationship with Jesus will go through, who are not part of the family of God. We will go through some of the same things. For example, someone in your family may die. But here it is. We have Jesus Christ. So he helps us. And we can lean on that scripture that says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Right? Especially if the person that we know has died in Jesus Christ. Where's the sting of death if a person who I know has died in Jesus Christ? There is no sting of death. That person has been now transitioned into the presence of God based on our belief. So I want to read this scripture today. I'm trying to set this up. I want to read this scripture. And we're going to be going to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now, y'all just hang out with me here. I'm going to try to keep this at 20 minutes. If I don't, then I won't. That's all. If I don't, then I won't. I'm going to read all 11 verses of this scripture. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 11. As the deer pants longingly for the water brooks, so my soul longingly for you, O God. All right? So I'm reading from Psalm 42, the Amplified Version. So if you want to flip your Bible to that particular version. All right. I'll read verse 1 again. As the deer pants longingly for the water brooks, so my soul pants longingly for you, O God. My soul, my life, my inner self thirst for God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I vividly remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go along before the great crowd of people and lead them in procession to the house of God, like a choir master before his singers, timing the steps to the music and the chant of the song, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a great crowd keeping a festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me, the burden more than I can bear. Therefore, I will fervently remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Mount Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All the breakers of your waves have rolled over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a crushing of my bones with a sword, my adversaries taunt me, while they say continually to me, 'Where is your God?' Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become restless and disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. All right. So I don't have a title for this. It's just me talking. It's just me talking, kind of musing. This particular song was written to the chief musician. And I believe it's a Psalm of David. What's very interesting is, for me, if you read it slowly enough and really go over it, here is a man who is going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, dealing with anxiety and depression in this one, catch this, song. It really sounds like, if I could say this, an R&B song or even a rock and roll song of a jilted lover. Someone expected someone to be there, and when they were not, they wrote a song about being jilted. Where are you? I was listening in the radio, or I don't know, Apple Music, whatever. I was listening in the car, and one of the songs that came on was Anthony Hamilton's I'm Sorry. And that song went down a long list of, you know, if you see her, tell her that I'm sorry because I did this and I did this and I did this and I didn't pay attention. But I remember some of the good times, but I did this and I did this until I'm sorry. And so this song reminds me of that type of, that genre of song where it is, we have been in a good relationship for a long time. But then there are those seasons where I go through that I don't see you, I don't sense you, I don't feel you. And immediately, the first thing my heart says is, where are you? Now, I'll be straightforward. I don't know, again, the context in which this song was written to the chief musician. But here he starts this: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, oh my God. So that means that he was in a dark place, a place of missing God, a place of missing the relationship with God, a place of missing the presence of God, a place, and if you go down a little bit further, of missing the fellowship of the saints when it comes to God. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul, everything within him was thirsty. Everything within him was thirsty, and it was thirsty for God, for relationship with God, longing to be able to touch God, longing to be able to hear from God, longing to be able to get closer to God. Now, he had a relationship, but it was just something about it at that particular time, it was separated. And I think that sometimes as we go through life, we recognize and we realize that we are in the same situation. Where are you, God? Where are you? Now, I'm not a psychiatrist. It is my intention to get a master's in psychology or a doctorate one day in the real near future. But I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But what I do know is depression is real. Depression is real. And so when I set this all up, I talked about how we as Christians will have to go through some of the same things that people that live in the earth realm go through. This is the difference, though, when I am saved, when I am in relationship with God, I don't stay in that place. I don't get stuck in that place of where other people might get stuck because they have a relationship or because they don't have a relationship. And here's the other thing. Do I believe that you need to go to a doctor if you feel like you're depressed? Yes, please go to a doctor. There are all kinds of services that you need to go to, that you can go to. Go to a doctor, sit down with someone, sit down with a psychiatrist or a psychologist and talk out a counselor if you don't want to call them by their, you know, those fancy names, a counselor, a licensed professional. Sit down with someone, talk about what's going on inside of you, and it will help you. It will help you, number one, to listen to this, to quiet the noise of your life. And this might not make sense, but it will quiet the noise of your life, and it will help you focus on what the real issue is. And when you're able to focus on the real issue, then you're able to say, okay, I know the word of God that I can apply to that real issue. All right, let me give you an example. My mother, since I was a boy, has been very ill. She's in and out of the hospital, so on and so forth. And praise be to God, my mother is 82 years old, I believe. And she is a saint in the Church of God. When she leaves and when she transitions from this world to her heavenly home, the earth will not be as good as it was. I'm telling you, that's just who my mother is. But so my mother was in the hospital one day, and she had something going on in her brain. It was literally her brain. So we walked in the family together. And then, of course, you know, the doctor comes in with his white robe and his little, what do they call that thing? The thing they hold when they, the chart. And he's trying to give us all this bad news. You know, this is wrong and this is, and he's going all about with all of these medical terms and what have you. So I stepped in and I said, excuse me. What is wrong with my mother? And so I don't remember, of course, what he said. I said, I need it in plain text. What is wrong? So he told us. I said, now, if you want to stay here, you can stay here. But we're going to pray. He left. The five of us grabbed hands, my mother and her children. We prayed. She was out of hospital in 2 days. Why? Because we quieted the noise of everything else that was going around. We zeroed in on the root of the thing. We prayed and applied the word of God to the root of it, and it killed it. I told y'all, this is just me talking today. I don't really have a subject matter. But I think if we zero in on something here, is that even in this scripture, you see where he's going back and forth and all over the place. He's in and out of depression in this scripture. I want to say at least 2 or 3 times. You could tell he's like, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm thinking. But, you know, one of the things that got me that was really, really good here, he says that, you know, I remember the good times. And I think that when we're going through something, that's very important, is that we slow down enough to remember it has not always been like this. It has not always been like this. There are some good times. Lock back into that place, that time where you and God were in it and y'all was winning and you were smiling and everything was going well. locked back into that place. You follow what I'm saying? And when you get back into that place, oh, wow. Oh, wow. You know, so, yeah. He says, I remember as I pour, I used to go before the great crowd of the people and lead them into procession to the house of God, like a choir master before the singers, timing the steps and the music to the chatter, the song. With the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a great crowd keeping festival. Then it goes directly back into, why are you in despair, oh my soul? Why have you become restless and disturbed within me? You know? What are you going to do when your soul is restless? What are you going to do when stuff just doesn't work? What are you going to do when you get frustrated and angry? And I think that's kind of why I pulled this scripture today. It's because of what I was dealing with on Tuesday and Wednesday. Thanks be to God, we got it finished Wednesday night. Yesterday, we did some testing and some other stuff. Still haven't got it anchored to the ground. You know, went out and spent money on a hammer drill and it's not working, only to find out I wasn't using it properly, so on and so forth. All right, so we go back and we try again tomorrow or this weekend, whenever. And, you know, he says, he goes back to remembering God and being with God in the mountains and recognizing his grandeur and his splendor in the waterfalls. He remembers all of these things. But then he goes back into the place of this depression, this anxiety. Let me tell you something. Anxiety, I'm just going to say like I feel it. Anxiety and depression are sicknesses that are brought to you by the enemy of your soul to remove your spiritual, catch this, and physical focus off of God. If I can affect you physically, then you'll always, I don't feel good. I don't, you know, in this way, if I don't feel good, I'm not picking up the Bible. I'm going to be honest with you. If I don't feel good, I'm not picking up no Bible. I'm not. All I'm going to do is come in my office, close my door, turn off my light, and put on some depressing movies. I'm going to raise my hand as the one. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'll raise it. I know that I'm not the only one. What I need us to understand is when these feelings come up, quiet the noise. If you don't want to go to a counselor, that's fine. I get it. Some people just won't go to a counselor. But when these feelings come up, here's the steps. Quiet the noise. As best as you can, quiet the noise. Once the noise has quieted, focus the root. Focus in on the root and then kill the root. I have this year planted corn, tomatoes, winter squashes, summer squash, and green beans. And I planted in the same garden, they call it Three Sisters, corn, squash, and beans. And supposedly, they're supposed to feed off of each other with the nitrogen mix and all of those kind of things in the dirt. Well, I got a whole bunch of bean stalks, but I got no fruit. I got a whole bunch of beautiful flowers on the winter squashes, but I have no fruit, none, not even the smallest little nobulo of a fruit. So the corn has done well, I think. But what I did with the corn is you know, being an amateur gardener and somebody who's just trying to create some food for my family to eat, I got ambitious and overplanted the corn too close to each other. And so, not understanding how corn grows, the stalks were too close together. Where are you going with this, Mons? What I'm saying is that sometimes you got to dig to the root and pull all the rest of that junk out in order for it to work. And so what I'm saying is when you get to the root, you can kill the root. If you kill it from the root, you'll kill everything else. I'm going into that garden over the next week or so, and I'm pulling up all the roots, everything. Just going to pull everything out. I am going to prepare the bed for next season. I'm done with it because I'm tired of looking at something that is not fruitful. And that's a whole nother time together. There's no need to keep watering it, putting fertilizer on it if it doesn't grow. That's a whole nother thing. I'm not going to go into that. The psalmist ends here, and this is where I want us to end today, because I just looked up and I'm way past time. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become restless and disquieted? Why are you restless and anxious within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. Here it is, for I shall yet praise him. Hope in God. So when I can quiet everything else, I can zero in on the thing. I can apply the word of God on the thing that is the root of it. And my hope now is in God because I've applied his word to my situation. And while I'm waiting, listen to me, while I am waiting for the plant to die, for it to start turning brown, I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to praise God because it's already done. I may chop it day one or poison it day one or focus in on it on day one. Apply the word of God on it on day one or day two that it pops up in my life. But I may not see the results of it immediately. But I'm not. Here's the thing. I cannot sit and ponder over something that I have truly given to God. And when you give it to God, that's where it needs to stay, in front of him. So how do I not take it back? I just begin to give God praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory for helping me out of that situation. Praise and honor and glory and magnification for giving me the sense and the ability to know that I could not handle it by myself and I needed to hand it over to him. That's what happened with that roof. I couldn't handle it. I handed it over to him. He gave it to the wife. The wife found a solution. We got the roof up. I was beyond frustrated. I was ready to spend money to have somebody else come and do it. Money I did not want to spend. Nonetheless, God was faithful because I gave it to him and he worked it out. That's a song. Jesus can work it out. Y'all look that up. That's an old gospel song. That problem that I had just couldn't seem to solve. I prayed and I prayed. Just got deeper involved. But I gave it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I gave it to the Lord and he worked it out. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today and we magnify you and we glorify you for all that you have done and all that you're doing in our lives. We honor you today. Thank you for allowing me this time, God, just to talk about your goodness and your mercy and talk about your word today. I pray that this touched someone's life in a magnificent way because it helped me. God, when I get into those places, thank you for being my company keeper, my coverer. I don't know if that's a word, God, but thank you for being the one that covers me. Thank you for being the one that sustains me when I feel like I'm about to go into the pit. You're a great God, and I love you. God, I pray you would watch over these brothers, these women, whoever is listening all over the world. I thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word with the world. I love you today, God. I magnify you and I glorify you. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, I pray. And everybody shouted amen, amen, and amen. Listen, I know this was a long one. You guys, thanks for hanging out. If you stuck it out to the all 30 minutes or so, thanks for hanging out. It was just me talking. Just me. I don't know if you could say musing, but I just want to just talk today. We're coming back next week with It's in the Promise. We're going to keep digging out of Romans. We're going to walk through Romans and dig out It's in the Promise. But I just wanted to take a quick break and let you guys know kind of where I was right now. All right, so that's me, just being real. This is going to be a real podcast. Maybe I should change the name to The Real Podcast. All right, anyways, this is Pastor S. Jeffrey Munz. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. The Bible says this: if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by his own power, you shall be saved. So you need to understand today, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, give your life to Jesus. Secondly, share this podcast with whomever, everybody, men, women, boys, girls. I know it says morning meditation for men, but I know there's some women who can get something out of this podcast every day or every Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right, I got to get out of here. I got some things to do. I'm going to do some entertainment things with the family this weekend. Excited about that. I got some other good news that I'll share with y'all next week. Something that I've been waiting for a very, very long time to do, and I'm finally gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. So I will talk to you on next week, and I love you to life. This is Pastor S. Jeffrey Munz. I'm out of here. Peace.